Lars Larson, your dog in the fight.
Welcome back to the Lars Larson Show. It's a pleasure to be with you and glad to take your phone calls and your emails at 866-HEY-LARS. That's 866-439-5277. We'll get back to those in just a moment. It's a real pleasure to welcome back a very good friend of the program, John Lott, the president of the Crime Prevention Research Center and the author most recently of The War on Guns, Arming Yourself Against Gun Control Lies. John, how have you been?
Oh, doing great. Good to talk to you again, Lars.
Nice to talk to you as well. You know, I was thinking about you yesterday as we were covering, you know, what was going on in South Carolina. It was very sad that this shooting happened at the school and that a teenager apparently murdered his father and then shot both two students and a teacher. But one of the first reactions we heard from people at the school, from one of the witnesses at the school, was the police arrived very quickly, but this would have been over a whole lot faster if teachers had been allowed to be armed. What does the Crime Prevention Research Bureau show might be the result if we could arm teachers in America?
Well, it's the same thing you see with concealed carry permit holders stopping all sorts of crimes. I mean, if people go to our website at crimeresearch.org, we have dozens of cases over just recent years where police, sheriffs, or prosecutors have pointed to cases where multiple people would have died if it wasn't for the presence of a concealed carry permit holder. You know, these cases don't get national news attention. They get local news attention. My guess is the whole debate that we have on these issues would be different if even some of these got national news attention. But I could point to cases like last year where you have a case in South Carolina also. There was a volunteer fire department that was having kids' day. They were giving the kids rides on the fire trucks, giving them ice cream, playing games. And someone came up, started firing their gun. Fortunately, that there were two volunteer fire department members there who had concealed carry permits. I mean, one can only imagine what the news coverage would have been like if those permit holders weren't there in order to stop the attack. Or you have cases in downtown Chicago last year where a gang member went onto a sidewalk, started firing his gun at people. Fortunately, there was an Uber driver who had just dropped off a fare who had a concealed carry permit, was able to get out and wound the attacker there. The state's attorney said that there was no doubt that he had come to the defense of many people who otherwise would have been harmed. Or a case like in Conway, Georgia last year where you had a man went into a liquor store, started firing his gun, killed two people. Fortunately, there was a permit holder outside who was walking by, heard the shots, went in, exchanged fire with the person that was there and got him to run out. I could give you a lot more cases from just last year or this year. But, you know, these cases, you're lucky to get a couple news stories in the local news media about it. But, you know, in the Conway, Georgia case, there was actually film of it on the security camera there, and I couldn't get national media to pick it up. The comments that I got from editors is that if they gave it coverage, it would be political on their part to do that.
See, and I don't mind it being political, because if politics is what it takes to change the rules at the schools, then so be it. Let's go for it. I mean, you know, John, that I have my studios in Portland, Oregon, and in the state of Oregon, it's actually legal for a teacher to carry a concealed weapon if he or she has the permit, and it's legal to carry it at school. If I go to give a speech at a school, I carry a gun, and I do it legally, and there's no problem with it. And in 25 years, there hasn't been a problem created by that ability. But the school districts typically will write their employee rules. So even though the state law allows it, the employee rules say employees aren't allowed to carry. So they specifically disarm the teachers, even though any parent or visitor is able to carry there. And it just floors me that we can't get at least a few school board members to say, let's vote for it and allow teachers who want to carry be able to do it. And if they want to do it and requires a little bit of training for the teacher and maybe have a local police department, you know, walk them through some scenarios and, you know, show them, you know, some extra techniques beyond what an average gun owner would know, I'm okay with that. But they won't even try the experiments.
Yeah. Look, you know, in the war on guns, I try to go through statement after statement of mass public shooters who have left in diaries or other, you know, conversations with others explaining why they picked the targets that they did. And time after time when they leave these statements, they explicitly talk about picking areas where victims can't defend themselves. We just had a case this spring in Detroit where a father was concerned about his son's involvement with ISIS, had told the FBI about it. The FBI put a tap on his phone, and they had this amazingly chilling conversation where he's explaining why he had picked one of the largest churches in the Detroit area to attack, because that church did not allow anybody to have permanent concealed handguns on its property, and that that would make it easier for him to kill people before anybody was to arrive. You know, you mentioned the amount of time it took to arrive on the scene in South Carolina. In the Detroit case, the person had actually driven the distance between the nearest police station and the church to get an idea how long it might take for police to go and arrive on there. You know, minutes make a huge difference in these types of attacks. And, you know, police can be there an incredibly fast 6 minutes is like record time for showing up at these things. But a lot of damage can already be done at that point. And police are extremely important. But if you look at surveys of police themselves, they're overwhelmingly in favor of getting rid of these gun-free zones. There's a survey by Police One, which is the largest private organization of police in the country with about 450,000 members. 86% of the people that they surveyed believe that getting rid of gun-free zones would either possibly reduce or maybe even eliminate the casualties from mass public shootings.
John, I want to tell you something. I've finally come up with what I think is the perfect comparison, because the counterpoints I always get from people on arming teachers are, A, they're not specially trained. B, we don't have an expectation of them protecting children in that way. And C, they won't know what to do. And I finally realized every school in America has fire extinguishers and hoses hanging on the wall in case of a fire. And nobody expects that a teacher is trained to be a firefighter. But we don't put the teachers in the position of saying, well, if there's a fire, call for the fire department, but we're not going to give you any of the tools to try to act on that fire in the, even if it's only 4 or 5 minutes until the first engines arrive from the local fire station. We give them some tools, even though, to my knowledge, there's no special training for teachers in using a hose or a fire extinguisher. And I will tell you, having gone on some fire internships, a hose charged with water can be really dangerous. You can hurt yourself or others if that hose whips around. And the fire extinguishers loaded with chemicals could also be dangerous if it gets in people's eyes or it gets in electronic equipment, that sort of thing. And yet we give the teachers those tools, even though if there's a fire at the school, do you expect the teachers to put it out? I'd say no, but we're not going to keep them from having the tools to try to go after it if they can.
Right. But, I mean, one of the things I try to do in the war on guns is so much of the debate over guns are about things that might possibly go wrong. But we don't need to guess on these things. We often have data there to go and say, well, what happens to the mass public shootings that are stopped by concealed carry permit holders? Do they shoot bystanders is one of the concerns that's often raised. When the police arrive, do they shoot the concealed carry permit holder? We can look at these things, and what you find is time after time, that's not what happens. In fact, I can't find any cases where a mass public shooting has been stopped by a permit holder where either of those two things have happened. And, you know, as you say, if that's really the objection that they have, then maybe a little bit more training or something might be a way of compromise.
And I'll bet every local police department would be glad to do it. He is the head and the founder of the Crime Prevention Research Center and the author of The War on Guns, John Lott. Dr. Lott, thanks so much for the time.
Oh, great talking to you, Lars.
Good to have you back on. Back in a moment, and we'll talk